Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
MSW Media.
This is Albert Hammond Jr., and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
Well, pour yourself a glass. Sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. But this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn.
Oh, yeah. Hey there, friends. Welcome to the show. Coming up, we've got JT Van Zandt. He's one of the owners of Epic Western Cocktails. They produce high-quality Texas ranch water in a can. JT is the son of the late Towns Van Zandt, a superbly talented singer-songwriter in the 60s and 70s, who influenced countless artists across multiple genres. His tunes have been recorded, performed by Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, Lyle Lovett, Merle Haggard, Norah Jones, Emmylou Harris, Counting Crows, Steve Earle, Nancy Griffith, Guy Clark, Jason Isbell, Jesus, and Natalie Maines, the Cowboys Junkies, on and on and on. Here's a snippet from one of Towns Van Zandt's best-known tracks, Poncho and Lefty.
Living on the road, my friend, what's gonna keep you free and clean? Now you wear your skin like iron and your breath's as hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye.
That song appears on his 1972 album, The Late Great Towns Van Zandt. Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard went on to cover that song in 1983, and their version hit number one on Billboard's country charts. JT and I talked a lot about his old man, so you're in for a treat, and that's coming up in a few minutes. So JT's got ranch water in a can, and I tried another canned product recently that I really dig. It's called Sake High. The company is based here where I live in Venice, California. The sake is brewed in Kyoto, Japan. This is Junmai sake. Junmai being the Japanese word for pure rice sake. There are just 4 ingredients. They're all locally sourced in Kyoto. You got water, rice, yeast, and koji. Now, beer is made from barley, sake from rice. One of the main differences between sake and beer is that rice doesn't contain the kinds of enzymes that are found in barley. So an additional ingredient is needed to help convert the rice's starch into sugar. And that's koji, or koji gin, or koji kin. In short, koji is steamed rice that has mold spores cultivated onto it. And this mold creates enzymes that convert the starches in rice into sugars that can be fermented by yeast cells. I'm burpy right now. So back to Sake High. There's a very nice couple here. They own it. They live in Venice. It's a small operation. They're busting their butts. So I thought, you know, give them some love on the show. It's really tasty stuff. I actually brought a few cans with me in a cooler when I was out golfing the other day, which might explain why my game went to shit on the back nine. The Sake High is 15% ABV. That's like three times stronger than most beer and seltzer. It's only available on premise in California at the moment, but if you're in other parts of the country, you can order it online at sakehigh.com. $20 for a four pack. I recommend it. Give it a shot. You like the sake. Also got a wine recommendation for you. Rombauer's 2021 Carneros Chardonnay. It's lovely. Carneros, of course, is a AVA in Northern California that includes parts of Napa and Sonoma counties. Rombauer's Carneros Chardonnay is a highly sought-after wine from vintage to vintage. People love this, and rightly so. Known for bright fruit flavors, creamy notes. I had the 21 the other night with salmon crostini and some grilled corn salad, and oh, lordy! Oh, I found it to be...
All right, all right, all right.
That's right, Matthew McConaughey. You get me. The wine smells like ripe peach spice, some pie crust there, and on the palate you're going to get apricot and some nice vibrant acidity, little hints of vanilla. It's $40 a bottle. Rombauer's 2021 Carneros Chardonnay. I recommend it. A little segment on this show we call Outside the Zone, in which we dissect pitches that I've received. Pitches from publicists that are outside the zone.
I want you to throw the next one at the mascot.
Why? I'm finally throwing it where I want to throw it.
Just throw it at the bull, huh?
Just a bit outside.
Got an email recently from a publicist representing a well-known whiskey brand. Not going to say what it is, but well-known. Irish whiskey. With an invite to a tasting happening at Hudson Yards. Now, Hudson Yards is in New York. I live 3,000 miles away in Venice Beach. I happen to believe that publicists ought to know who the people they're pitching are and where they're based. That said, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most egregious violation of professionalism, I'd put not bothering to confirm where someone from the media lives at about, I don't know, 4, maybe a 5. So when I got the email, I just ignored it. It's like if you live in a high-rise in the middle of Manhattan and someone emails you trying to sell you, I don't know, say, farm equipment. You hit delete. It's not actionable. They're pitching you something you couldn't possibly use, and they ought to know better. It's not on you to have to take the time to write them back and set them straight. Just move on. That's what I did. But then this publicist followed up. Not just once, but twice. Both follow-up emails said the same thing. Just wanted to bump this up. Hope you can join us. After the second follow-up, which was the day before the tasting, keep this in mind, day before the tasting, I was feeling a little cheeky, so I wrote back, "Sounds like a fun event, though it's a bit too long of a commute from my place in Venice Beach." And I included my address in that email to underscore the point that I live on the other side of the country. She wrote back almost immediately, "Completely understand, Dan. Thanks for the response. If something changes in your schedule, feel free to drop by." Okay, so here's where the level of unprofessionalism jumps from a 4 or 5 to at least a 7. I don't think she completely understands at all. To completely understand is to know that me declining the invitation has nothing to do with my schedule and everything to do with the fact that I'm 3,000 miles away.
What the hell's going on? I mean, what the hell is going on?
So I write her back the day after the event, saying I'm sorry I wasn't able to make it, but if she would send me a sample of the new whiskey expression, I'll try it and, you know, possibly talk it up here on the show. She wrote back excitedly, lots of exclamation points. That's great. And that she would FedEx me a sample right away. That was 2 weeks ago. And my sample is nowhere in sight.
Beneath his stormy surface flowed the warm tide of compassion and kindness.
What the hell's going on out here?
All right. So we'll go from incompetence to competence. And that competence would be one of our partners here on the show. Can I get a little music for this? I need the accompanying music. Come on, give me a jam. All right, yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's the jam. I'm talking about Batiste Rum. Batiste Rum is the first sustainable American craft rum. They use an eco-positive solar-powered manufacturing process from beginning to end. It's made from 100% fresh cane juice. They're not using sugar crystals. They're not using molasses. If you like tequila 100% agave, you're going to love rum 100% cane juice. You got to trust me on this, folks. The hell of fine rum. I got a deal for you. All right? Yeah, just you. Don't tell anybody else. All right? You can tell other people. Go ahead. But here's the deal. Go to BatisteRum.com, BatisteRhum.com. Put in a bunch of rum in that cart. Put it in there. Get as much rum as you can handle, and then enter code DUNN, D-U-N-N. That's my last name at checkout. 20% off everything you got. 20%. Moolah, greenbacks, cold, hard, cash. Thanks to Batiste Rum. Yes, they're swell folks. Batiste is proof that great taste with true sustainability is not a goal for tomorrow, but a reality today. Now you got this rum and you want to mix it with something. You want a good mixer. Can I get some new music for this? New music, please. Thank you. You've heard me say this before on the show. You can buy the finest spirits in the world, like Batiste Rum, to make craft cocktails at home. But if you use lousy mixers, you're going to get lousy drinks. And let's face it, whipping up cocktails at home can be an expensive hassle. Who the hell has time to go out and get all the shit you need to squeeze and juice and blah, mess? That's why I'm all about Fresh Victor, baby. That's right. Fresh Victor's a line of all-natural, clean-label cocktail mixers that taste fabulous. All of the ingredients, every single one, fair trade sourced. There's nothing artificial. The bonus of a fresh mixer over a ready-made canned cocktail is not just the jump in quality and freshness, but the fun of actually making yourself, guests, a kick-ass drink. Right now, Fresh Victor's offering a summertime special for you, my listeners. Simply go to freshvictor.com, fill up your shopping cart, and at checkout, enter promo code WWD20. Get 20% off your order. Don't hesitate. Now's the time to treat yourself to the very best mixers on the market. And that's Fresh Victor.
Hello. There are many ways to use the Bartles and James Premium Wine Cooler. One lady in Massachusetts even uses it to make bread. Well, Ed suggests an even better idea is to use it as a topping. For example, as a topping for ice. This is quick and easy to do, and will not only improve the flavor of ice considerably, but will make it more attractive as well. So if you're tired of having your ice just plain, add some Bartles and James. We hope you appreciate this suggestion, and thank you for your support.
Joining me now, a renowned fishing guide from down in South Texas. He is the host of a popular podcast called Drifting. He plays a little music, he builds boats, and he's an owner of Epic Western Cocktails. They make premium ranch water. What is ranch water, you're wondering? Well, that's what we're about to discuss with JT Van Zandt. How are you, JT?
I'm doing wonderful, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
It's nice to meet you, man. We'll get into that a little bit later. I am a big fan of your father's music, and we can talk about that in a bit. But first, I want to talk to you about the ranch water. Epic Western is the name of the brand. Tell our listeners, what is ranch water?
That has gotten very diluted lately. So that's a great question, and I want to be very specific about that. Ranch water is premium tequila and Mexican mineral water. And the Mexican mineral water, like a Topo Chico, is essential because of the amount of fizz that that has compared to a club soda or sparkling water. So once it's iced down.
Isn't lime one of the ingredients?
You know, lime and salt and all those other sort of embellishments are welcome, but not necessary to constitute a ranch water. But certainly lime is right up there as an important ingredient.
And Topo Chico, as you mentioned, not necessary, but some people, especially the Texans that I have met, say that that's non-negotiable. Like, that's got to be used. Okay.
It is. Yeah. There's a particular fizz to that that makes it, you know, effervescent and bubbly enough to kind of burn your throat even after it's mixed into a cocktail.
Got it. Now, I've done some digging into the origin of commercially available ranch water. And like so many other iconic drinks, the provenance is a little unclear. Some of the things I turned up, a guy named Kevin Williamson, owner of Ranch 616 in Austin. Then there's a guy named...
Yes, rest his soul.
Okay. It passed. J.P. Bryan at the White Buffalo Bar at the Gage Hotel in Marathon. I've also heard it was invented in Marfa. What is your best guess, JT, about where ranch water, at least commercially, began to be available?
I think there's a good chance that it was developed on a tailgate somewhere in South or West Texas by some cowboys that had some cold Topo Chicos in the bottle, as well as some tequila on hand. And after a certain amount of Topo Chico is relieved from the bottle by drinking it, then that leaves space to add tequila into the actual bottle. And so I'm thinking that lime was probably left out of the first authentic ranch water that was made. But then I would give it to Kevin at 616 in Austin for commercializing that cocktail rather than it just being a margarita, right? Or a shot of tequila. You know, I think typically at a bar, you'd walk up, you'd either have a shot of tequila with a beer or something like that, or you would order a margarita. But never really was tequila mixed with soda water straight up. That was kind of odd until the ranch water came about.
What's interesting is I've been encountering people ordering ranch water out here in Southern California, and it makes sense because you're not having, when you mention the margarita, you're not having that sweet, you're not having the sugar element to it. And of course, people out here in California are perpetually worried about, gaining any weight. So the ranch water is a real nice way to keep the calories off if you're going to be imbibing, right?
And I think sugar kind of contributes to the hangover to a certain extent.
Absolutely, yeah.
And going back again, it's like, it's pretty rare to find a really good margarita, good authentic margarita, which would be just, fresh squeezed lime, some sort of a triple sec or Grand Marnier, an orange liqueur, then tequila. That in of itself has been a rare item to find a genuine article of, and then good tequila. So I think everybody had a college experience like with Jose Cuervo, which is not a genuine 100% blue agave tequila, and thus the additives, it's like partially rum. It can be a lot of different things in a very like cheap tequila that gives you a terrible hangover. So I think tequila had a bad rap for years and years. I'm 53 years old. So growing up in Houston and like a kid of the 80s, when we got tequila drunk, that was typically on Jose Cuervo or some well type. Tequila.
Which was a mix. It's called a mixto tequila. What JT's talking about is, and that's what I think separates Epic Western from a lot of these ready to drink ranch waters that are blowing up now, is that you're using 100% pure agave tequila, right?
That's right. Canned in Mexico using 100% Mexican carbonated mineral water as well, which is that other authentic component that has to be there.
I'm excited, actually. When this podcast airs, I will, if everything goes well, I will be in Mexico when this podcast drops next week. I'm going down to visit my friends at Fortaleza Tequila, right outside of Tequila. Yeah.
Fantastic tequila.
One of my favorites. So you're right. Yeah. Having that authenticity, I think, is what separates. From what I can tell, I haven't seen any other ranch water brands in a can commercially available that are using 100% agave. Are you guys the only ones?
I believe that we are, at least to the level that you would mix at home, right? And be proud to serve your friend. Because this is like, for instance, the chispa that I have here has a monk fruit, like a sweet component. So this is closer to like a skinny margarita. The gold can, our original, is the ranch water, which is just a little bit of salt and lime with Mexican mineral water and 100% blue agave tequila. This one's 8%. The original's 10%. So even like the Herradura, and I think Hornitos is making a canned version, that's a 5%. That's like the strength of a beer. These little cans have the strength of two beers which is kind of like a true cocktail.
I know it, my friend. I sampled the wares last night. Actually, I'll drop a little name. I was over a friend, Harry Lennox, who's been on the show numerous times. Harry stars on The Blacklist on NBC. I brought over some cans of Epic Western. You also had a Paloma version, a La Paloma, and we drank them all. And let's just say the evening was a lot of fun after that. We had we drank a bunch and we played some piano and did some swimming in the pool and playing with the dogs and shooting pool and everything else. And it just, you know what it is? It's very light. It's hot here now. And it's very light and refreshing. You don't get weighed down by it when you're drinking it. It makes you feel, you know, up and peppy. At least that's how I experience
it. There is a lot of euphoria to it. And it hits you right away. Like if you hadn't had a drink all day and you want one, you start bleeding into beers, that leads, you know, to two or three, then you need a nap or you just don't feel that great. You're kind of heavy and full. I agree. They're very light, very refreshing, and they bring about almost an instant kind of euphoric feeling.
Now, how many states are you available in?
That's a good question. It's growing by the day. I want to say we're in at least five right now. I'm breaking into Colorado and a couple other mountain states, trying to get out to California right now, Florida. We're in Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, a couple other states. But yeah.
And so is it sold by a 4-pack, 6-pack? How does it come?
4-pack. And we're about to release another one called Brush Fire, which has a jalapeno component. And with that, we'll have a sample 4-pack that'll have the La Paloma, the original ranch water, the Chispa margarita, and then the Brush Fire as well.
Count me in on that one, please.
So right now there's three flavors, soon to be four.
And what's the price for a 4-pack?
About $18.99. But then again, compared to the next one down the ladder, you're getting a lot more tequila in those cans. So a 4-pack has half of a 750 milliliter bottle of 100% blue agave tequila. Wow. So even if you took the cheapest 100% blue agave tequila on the market, 2 4-packs would about equal the cost of that bottle. And you're holding a full bottle of tequila in 2 4-packs. 8 cans has a full bottle of tequila. So if you have 2 of these things, if you have 2 of the 8% versions, you've had a few shots of tequila. If you have 2 of the gold cans, you've had 4 ounces of tequila.
If you've had 2 of those for breakfast, you're my Uncle Den. That's how he goes. Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe. No. So what in your bio, JT, it lists you as a legendary fly fisherman. Now, I don't know a lot about, I think we talked about this briefly off the air before we started. I lived in Colorado, so I have tried fly fishing. I'm not good at it. My understanding of how it works, I basically know that there are 2 types of flies. Am I right on this? There's the ones that float, they're the dry flies, and the ones that sink are the nymphs.
Yeah, well, that's in trout fishing.
Which is what we would do on the Roaring Fork River in Colorado.
That's right, that's right. So you can catch a sailfish on a fly rod, right? So I would add one other category to those 2 flies. You've got your dry fly, which floats on top. You have your nymphal stage, which is a nymph that goes and sinks. And then you have a streamer, which you have to articulate with a stripping motion, which imitates like a bait fish or a shrimp or a crab or something else. So streamers, dry flies, and nymphs.
When you go out, you take people out, you're going to teach them. How long does it take if someone has never fly fished? Because it just looks really complex. How long does it take for someone to just get proficient?
I would say, it does take a dedication of someone's time. 30 minutes 3 times a week for a few weeks, and you can cast a fly rod. Now, I take beginners out all the time who have never caught a redfish on a fly. It's what I specialize in on the flats down here in Texas. And more often than not, I can get a beginner hooked up on his first time out. But to really enjoy it and have confidence and repeatability, consistency, I think you need to practice with a fly rod for a couple months. And to me, it's a simplified version of fishing, because instead of having a mechanical reel and drag and all these a vest full of stuff, you really just need a fly rod, which is and reel containing that colored line, which is the fly line, and then a monofilament leader that goes on the end of that, and a fly. And once you learn to work that rod, you're stripping with your hand. You're basically hand lining a fish after you hook it on a fly rod. because you don't have that mechanical reel letting drag out while you reel. So if you hook a fish and that fish is big enough to run away from you, then you have to let them take line through your hand, and then the reel spins backwards until they get tired and you can turn the reel the other way, right? So
okay,
it takes a while to simplify all that down into the nuts and bolts of it. I think that's what attracted me in the beginning. I saw the line traveling through the air. I saw this round reel that didn't make any sense to me. And I was like, I got to figure out what that, it just mystified me. And once I got the tackle in my hand, I was sort of inseparable with it. I put a lot of time and energy into learning to cast, and it's been something that's taken over my life. That was when I was, that was in 91 when I picked up a fly rod. So I would have been 22 years old, and I'm 53 now. So better part of half of my life, you know, it's been doing that.
You talk about that visual. I mean, I remember, and I think probably most people's frame of reference that aren't into fly fishing would be A River Runs Through It, because who isn't into Brad Pitt, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
But I remember watching that, and it really, I mean, obviously it was, whoever the cinematographer was did an incredible job, but it was really gorgeous. And it just, it represented to me like a state of being that just felt like that's got to be what Zen is, you know, being out there. So I ask you, when you watch that movie, I'm sure you've seen the movie, is Brad Pitt's technique good? Am I watching good technique there? Or is it just good Hollywood cinema?
Oh, for sure. They had some casters out of some different shops in Montana that did the stunt work, if you will, for that. And they're some of the best casters in the world. It was all very realistic. My friends in the mountain states, a few of them call that A Realtor Runs Through It, based on the impact that movie had.
Oh, on Montana.
To bringing that sport to the rivers and the country itself, but also to the sport of fly fishing was huge. A lot of recognition came to fly fishing as a consequence of that movie. And it was, you know, you can imagine down in South Texas 30 years ago, people had never seen a fly rod. So you have these old crusty saltwater anglers who, you know, are using old bait casters and stuff like that. You showed up with a fly rod and they were just like, what do you intend to do with that thing? You know,
what would be the difference, JT, between fly fishing on the whitefish up in Montana or in the Roaring Fork in Colorado and a stream in the Rockies and the mountains versus the Gulf of Mexico, which is where you're at, right?
Yeah. So let's just take saltwater flats fishing in general. What you're doing is you're going around either walking, paddling, using a skiff, which I do with my clients, to pole with a long stick from the back while an angler stands on the front and looks visually for a fish to cast out. So it's much more of a hunting situation where you're not casting the fly rod unless you see a target swimming. And in which case you throw a streamer fly, which would imitate a bait fish or a shrimp, let's say, and you pull that shrimp with little stripping motions past the face of the fish, and that fish mistakes it as natural prey. And you watch the whole thing. It's very visual. When you're fishing in a river, you throw it up current and then you watch it float down until it reaches a terminal end beneath you downstream. And then you start that cast upstream again. You're more prospecting for fish that you may or may not see. Now, if you have rising trout that are eating insects off the top, that would be a good time to reach in your vest and pull out one of those dry flies that's going to float on top. And as that fish is feeding and it's laying on natural insects, you want to bring that dry fly down right in that same lane and hope that fish mistakes it for a natural, you know, a natural insect.
Now you got me hooked. I want to come down now and take a look.
Man, come on down. It changes lives. It does. You know, I've been very fortunate. I think the legendary, you know, kind of status is more about being the last man standing, or just the fact that I'm old now. I've been doing this a long time, but I've dedicated my adult life to it. And I have professionals from all walks of life, and some who had to save most of the year to afford that trip with me that come, and it affects everyone the same way. It's a very exciting thing to see the fish that you intend to catch and to be able to make an accurate enough cast with a fly rod, and then give that little piece of fuzz essentially life by stripping that line through your finger and watch that fish really charge up to eat that fly. It's all the problems that you've accumulated in the real world go away in that moment. So that's my gift to humanity.
It's a good segue into the, I guess, the last bit I want to talk to you about. So mentioned Colorado. When I was there, I was living and I was friends with and working with the late, great Dr. Hunter S. Thompson.
That's incredible.
And through Hunter, I got to meet and become friendly with Lyle Lovett. And
okay.
Through Lyle Lovett is how I discovered the music of your father, Towns Van Zandt. Lyle was greatly influenced by Towns, as were so many others. And I, frankly, had never heard of him. I grew up in Philly listening to punk rock and stuff. And then when Lyle turned, I'd heard Lyle Lovett before, and then when I got turned on to your dad's music, and then as I got older, I got to really appreciate just how much, how many people he influenced. Merle Haggard, Steve Earle, Dylan was a huge fan of your father.
Yeah.
So I set that up to say, bring it back to the fishing. Your dad was, like so many great artists, he was a troubled individual. I watched the documentary years ago, and then I just came back and rewatched it called Be Here to Love Me, a documentary from 2004, and I recommend it to anybody who wants to find out about Towns Van Zandt. He was an alcoholic, a drug problem. It's a mental illness. He died in 1997 on New Year's Day. He was 52 years old, so just a year younger than you, which has got to seem crazy to you. But you, there's also another video I recommend people watch, a short video that you did with Yeti called My Old Man, in which you open up about your relationship with your father. And you said, really one of the most telling things, you said your dad was the happiest when he was most unhappy. What do you mean by that?
That was a place where he felt he could create. And hey, he was a pretty privileged child, right? He came from a lot of resources, but he also was given insulin shock therapy as a very young man, about 20 years old, which erased most of his memory. His main influence was Lightnin' Hopkins, who was a blues guitarist in the Houston area. And he really felt privileged around those people, and rightfully so. So he stripped everything away from himself. He started from scratch. He hit the road with a knapsack and a guitar case, and he didn't call his mom until he had a hit song. And he did it. You know, he really did it. I'm super proud of him. I wish he could have found a little relief from the burdens that his mind put him through. But he really felt when he had the blues that he was the most authentic in the place of creativity. And he kind of set it up for himself to be in situations that most people would find incredibly dire. That was his happy spot. But he made it work with a guitar and a pickup truck for his whole career, and managed to be, the favorite songwriter of many great artists, many of whom you mentioned. So I'm incredibly proud of him.
Go in and check out Be Here to Love Me, and you'll get to see it's warts and all, but it's also just some beautiful music. And it is touching to see, because you feel it. You know, when I watched it and when I listened to his music, there's nothing artificial. The pain is genuine. Yeah. The struggle is genuine. But the heart and the feeling is so, it's all there. It all really, and you could see why he influenced so many people. And again, in the short video, My Old Man, that you're in, you say you didn't want to follow your dad's path. And what I found was interesting for what you're doing now is that, you know, we commonly refer to it as Mother Nature, but for you, nature was more like the surrogate father.
That's true. It's true. My dad's songs became a much greater parental influence on me than the man himself was. He wasn't capable really of carrying the load the way his songs sort of represent. So what I mean by that is, like, you weren't going to get very far by emulating him as a human being. He was very disturbed, very unhappy, very unhealthy. But he wrote in an idyllic way that represented true human emotion in the way I believe that one should be. Much like if you were to read the Bible, whether you're religious or not, whether you believe in God or not, you got to admit there's some pretty great, valuable lessons in there on how you should be as a person. And I found that in his music. Now, if I was as prolific as a poet or songwriter as he was, I'd probably be doing the same thing. But I had to reckon with myself pretty early in life, realizing that I was not. So was I going to just move through life as the son of somebody, or was I going to find the thing that really was meaningful to me and do it to the best of my ability? And luckily, fly fishing came along, and I thought, man, here's my chance. Let me see how I can affect others by sharing the love I have for this pastime. And it paid off. And it was taught to me by the discipline that he wrote under. I knew whatever it was I was going to do, I had to do to that extent, to that high level. And also that ties into Epic Western. Honestly, I'm lucky in the fact that I'm a sponsored athlete. I have many sponsors, including, you know, apparel brands, Yeti coolers, other people take really good care of me. And I had a lot of offers to back some, hey, I'm a Van Zandt. Like so the alcohol companies were going to reach out eventually. Right.
Yeah.
So I turned a lot of folks down because I wouldn't drink it. I wouldn't be proud to serve it to my friends. Like ranch water is not a seltzer. It's not made with bad tequila, just so you can produce it and can it in the States. It's made of 100% blue agave. And when the guys, Adam Love and those guys came around with Epic, they're like, we want you to be involved in shaping the taste of this brand. I was like, well, it's got to be 100% blue agave tequila. They were like, we know. And we have to make it in Mexico for that fact. And it's going to be very difficult. I said, I'm in.
One last thing about your dad in your short there, you talked about how you learned how to play all your dad's songs as a way to connect with him through his music. Yeah. The first thing that jumped into my mind, and it kind of made me sad, was, have you ever thought, man, I wish, you know, if my dad would have made it, I could have taken him out and shown him how to fly fish.
You know, spiritually, I'm right there with you. I appreciate you saying that. Like, there was a time when I was in Nashville, and I want to say it was like real early on when I first started fly fishing. I was probably about 22 or 23. And we went out to this outdoor store on Broadway, and he asked me what I wanted. I said, I didn't want anything, but I wanted to buy my little brother, Will, his second son, a fly rod. And he sprung for it. And, that was real meaningful to me. And Will still has that fly rod. And then Towns came through Pagosa Springs, Colorado, where I was living and guiding out of a shop. And I met him there, and he looked around. It reminded him of the time he had spent in Gunnison. He was on his way to the Silverton Folk Festival to play a gig. And he looked around and he looked at the river that ran through town, the San Juan. And he said, man, you're a fly fishing guide up here. That's far out to you. I'm super proud of you. And so, yeah, I carry that with me. Of course, I wish Towns had stuck around. But man, for those who knew him well, the shape that he was in by the time he was a year younger than me now, there was no way to keep him around. It was just so desperate. And I mean, he got his work done. He got it all done. Those songs will be here for much longer than I will. And they left a legacy for my two boys, Towns and Isaac. And so I'm super proud of him. I know that he would be very proud of me, where I've come in this sport. And I'm just grateful to him for teaching me how to do something with all of my heart, you know, how to believe in myself, how to believe in the thing that I'm doing, despite what the public says. Because there were decades where he didn't know if he was going to survive enough to buy food for the table or what, you know.
Yeah.
He was on the road trying to fill bars most of his life. And now he's not a household name, but he's no longer just a fringe, you know, kind of name either. He is a legendary songwriter, and rightfully so. And I think he always knew that it would come around, that his songs would gain recognition if he believed in it. You know, if he was proud of them, then that was all that mattered. So
that's great, man.
That's just how I live my life. That's how I plan to pass on whatever my children decide to do. I would just want them to do it with all their heart and soul. You know, that's, what else are we doing here?
That's Dan, right, man.
Why else are we on this planet? It ain't to punch a clock. I mean, and he also taught me, never disparage the working man. Every single person out there holding the job deserves respect. We need you guys. We need everybody doing that thing.
Wait, even podcasters?
Exactly.
Hold on podcasters. A second.
Hey, I'm
that
on
might
that
be
train.
A bridge too far. Speaking of legend, the dog, there's a dog in the video. Is that's a blue heeler, right? The dog you got on the,
yeah.
Is that your dog still around, I hope?
Foxy got put down last year as a 17 and a half year old.
Oh man. If you want, again, go folks, watch the video. Yeah. Go check out My Old Man. And this dog just fearless, man. You're ripping across on the water and he's just sitting there. You put him down. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but that's such a great, breed of dog. It's an Australian cattle dog.
That's exactly right. Yep. With a full tail. Yeah. She was a rescue dog. About 18 years ago, I picked her up in Austin from an outfit, and she never needed a leash. She was right there, front seat of the truck the whole way.
Wow, that is great. Well, JT Van Zandt, it has been a real pleasure talking to you. Everybody out there, if you can get it, and as JT said, it's rolling out to more and more states. Epic Western Cocktails, like a ranch water. There's three flavors now with a fourth, a spicy one coming. We got the Chisparita. We got the La Paloma, and then the regular ranch water. And would you say the jalapeno one's going
to
be called?
Yeah, soon to be Brush Fire will hit the market. It's all pretty much brand new, but it's taken off like crazy. People are really appreciating just the fact that it is 100% blue agave tequila, that it packs a punch. A can's got 2 full ounces of tequila in it. So drink responsibly and enjoy. And from my heart, I think you'll find it to be the genuine article. I wouldn't back anything less. My pleasure to meet you, Dan. And it sounds like you're going to have to come down here, go fly fishing with me, and we'll share a few ranch waters.
That would be fantastic, man. JT Van Zandt, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
It's over, Johnny. It's over. Nothing is over.
That's going to do it for this episode of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. I want to thank JT Van Zandt for joining us. Lovely man. Lovely man. Great product. Also want to thank you, dear listener. None of this happens without you. There is no show without your support. And I invite you to tell some friends, get people on board this train with us. But I really do mean it. It's great having all of you spend time with me. And as a show of my thanks, I'm going to leave you with a joke. Two chemists walk into a bar. First chemist says, I'll have a glass of H2O. Second chemist says, I'll have a glass of H2O too. Bartender gives them both water because he's able to distinguish the boundary tones that dictate the grammatical function of homophones in coda position as well as pragmatic context. That was a good one, right? All right, fine. Something simpler. An amoeba walks into a bar. Bartender says, pay the tab before you split. All right, fine. Last one, I promise. William Shakespeare walks into a bar. The bartender says, I told you before, you're barred from this place. I gotta go. Miss you already.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.